so you shouldn't fall asleep because of that, you know. Try to stay awake. Yeah, thanks. Yeah. No, really, it has been. It has been. Because, you know, usually I come every month, and so it's been a while. I kind of missed you guys. I still pray for you, though. The Lord's my witness, all right? So praise the Lord for that. Okay, Galatians chapter 3. Let's read the text. All right, we're going to read first chapter 3, verse 2 through 5. This is the only thing... Oh, that's too strong, I think. This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain? If indeed it was in vain, does he then who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you do it by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Let's just pray. Father, we just pray the Spirit of God would help us to understand this text. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, you know, I grew up in during the era when Rambo was famous. Anybody know who Rambo is? If you don't know who he is, raise your hand. So I can see. You don't know who Rambo is? Okay. All right. Well, Rambo was this guy that was real muscular, right? And he was the kind of guy that could go and save a whole country by himself against the army. All right, and so here he is with one machine gun and some bombs on him, and he could take on the whole army, and even an Apache helicopter he was able to knock down by himself. So it's like, and I was looking at that, I'm like, man, I wish I could be like Rambo, you know, take on all those guys all by myself. And you know, a bullet goes through him, he would burn some gunpowder, put it through, and it would clog the bleeding, and he'd go right back at it. It was like, wow. So the whole point was that Rambo can do it all by himself. He didn't need help, right? Now in our verses here in Galatians, Paul asks a series of four questions, and every one of them has to do with the fact that we can't do it ourselves. I think one of the most difficult things for me to learn in my Christian experience growing up in the Christian churches, how do you live a consistent life in the Lord without always stumbling? And so I always thought it was what I can do, you know, because I'm like many of you, a go-getter. I can do it, you know. If no one else will do it, I'll come to church and I'll paint the benches. Nobody else wants to do it. I'll do it. And I'll get it done. And so my attitude was for many years, I can live the life of Christ. You know, I'll do it. If I try hard enough and I pray enough and I read enough, I'm going to live his life. Well, after many years of trying, I realized with much frustration that I wasn't getting anywhere. I was a little bit, but I'm very, very frustrated in my Christian walk. This has to do with how do you grow? And so he asked a series of four questions. I don't know if you were able to pick them out or not, but he does ask a series of four questions, and every one of them has to do with how do you get saved and how do you grow. So let's look at them one at a time. Verse 2, this is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? So the very first question is very fundamental, is how does a person get saved? How do you receive the Holy Spirit? Do you have to have a second experience to receive the Holy Spirit? No. What he says is, the way we receive the Spirit, because he answers it, was it by working, by being good, by keeping the law? Or was it by hearing with faith? And the obvious answer is what?
Faith.
By hearing with faith, right? And so he's putting this question out just to remind them, remember when you heard the gospel, that as you were hearing the gospel, faith comes by hearing, right? And hearing the word of God. Oh, by the way, do you know that generally you have to share the gospel, because you can't sit next to your workmate and just kind of hope that he sees Christ in you and he's going to get saved by watching you. Sooner or later, you're going to have to share the gospel, because faith comes by them watching you? No, by hearing and hearing the word of God. And as you express the gospel, then the Holy Spirit starts to work in a person's life, and they can come to saving faith. So this is a fundamental point that I think that many of us understand, and we have down, that we were not saved by works, but it was by faith. All right. So the first one is, all right, I got that one down. That was a pretty easy one. All right. So let's go to the second question then. Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Ah, now the second question is a whole different question. Now, it's not a question of how you get saved, but it's a question of how are you perfected? Now, the word perfected means how do you mature? How do you grow in your faith? How do you become a complete Christian who is strong in faith? That's the question. See, the first one I think we grasp quite easily. The second one is the one where we struggle. All right? So I will ask you the same question that he's asking here. How are you now being perfected by the flesh? Or how is it that we become mature? All right, so do we read a lot? Is it read the Bible and just keep reading it and you're going to be perfected? Well, obviously, we want to read the Bible, right? If you don't read the Bible, God won't work in your heart. So yes, you do have to read the Bible. But that alone doesn't do it. I remember going up to one of the elders when I was growing up, and I said, Elder, I'm having some issues, you know. I'm turning into a man now, and all of a sudden, you know, things are looking attractive to me that weren't before. You know, what's going on? And he says, oh, all you have to do is go play basketball, and it'll go away. All right? So I went to play basketball, and then after I was done playing basketball, it didn't go away. So I came up to him and said, no, it didn't work. It didn't go away. So he said, well, read your Bible more. All right, so I'm reading my Bible. And even though I'm reading my Bible, I find myself struggling in my growth. And so I went up to him. I said, it didn't quite work. And he said, well, then pray more. All right, so basketball didn't work. So I'm going to read more and pray more. So I read more and prayed more. And yes, that was some victory. I said, but man, I'm still like, and you know, basically, he couldn't answer my question. Right? Please don't go and tell teenagers, oh yeah, just go play ball and it'll go away. That's not going to work. Right? Or go to your room and pray and the Lord will take it away. He'll take it away for the moment. Right? But the flesh never quits, does it? Right? In fact, a dear man that I was able to serve before the Lord took him home, who was semi-blind, even at his age and being blind, he says, I still see a lot of things when I was able to see, they still come up in my mind, and I still struggle with lust, even though I've been blind for so long. I'm like, wow, and he was in his mid-70s already. So we need to know how to answer this question. Are we being perfected by the flesh? In other words, what he's saying is, do we mature by our efforts? Certainly, we have to put great effort. I do put great effort into studying the scripture, into making sure I'm at the meetings, making sure I'm with other Christians and listening to them. All of that is part of it. But the main thing is this, that just as you couldn't save yourself, you can't get yourself to a point of maturity on your strength, on your own strength. It's a total reliance on the Holy Spirit. So basically, it sounds like this. Holy Spirit, I can't stop cheating, I can't stop lying, I can't stop lusting, I can't stop whatever your issue may be, right? But you need to do it in my life. You need to, Holy Spirit, supernaturally transform me and get me to a point of maturity because I've tried and it doesn't work. All right, so that's why the question is this. Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, notice, where you realize that you can't save yourself and the Holy Spirit has to bring it to the point of salvation, then you also, that same attitude continues. The Holy Spirit then not only saves you, but He sanctifies you. He sanctifies you. And that's something that so many people when I was growing up could never answer and could never explain to me. That you read your Bible and you pray, but as you're reading your Bible, you say, Holy Spirit, you just asked me to do something that's very difficult to do. and I just can't do it. But I'm asking you to do it in my life. You see the difference? It's not like, oh, if I do enough effort and if I try hard enough, I can get it done. It doesn't work. You'll find yourself very frustrated. That's why so many people just quit and just go back into living a fleshly life. Because they can't find how to have victory, consistent victory in their walk. And so what's the answer? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Are you now going to be mature, perfected in your faith by trying hard? Or by reading the Bible hard and praying and allowing the Holy Spirit to do it for you? I'll submit to you that it's by allowing the Holy Spirit to do it in your life, to change you. Have you ever tried to change your spouse? Did it work? Have you tried to change your sibling? Did it work? It doesn't work, does it? Have you tried to change yourself? Usually it doesn't work, does it? We do some temporary reforms and changes. But I'm talking about permanent changes where the Holy Spirit removes a habit that's ingrained in your life and gives you victory. We can't even do it ourselves, if we're honest. But you say, Holy Spirit, would you remove that ingrained habit that I can't get out of my life? Would you give me victory in my walk? And the Holy Spirit will do it. So that's what he's saying right here. Having begun in this by the Spirit, are you going to now turn to the flesh, to your efforts, to mature? Then he asks a third question, verse 4. Did you suffer so many things in vain? If indeed it was in vain? He reminds the Galatians also, remember that part of growing in the faith is that you're going to suffer for your faith. All right? So sooner or later, if you're living for Christ, someone's going to insult you, someone's going to laugh at you, someone's going to reject you because of your faith. You're going to suffer for your faith. And so what he's saying is, you got saved by faith through the work of the Holy Spirit. You're growing by faith through the work of the Holy Spirit. And now because of your faith, you're suffering. Don't let that be in vain. Don't get frustrated and walk away from that reality. Then he asked a fourth question. Does he then, who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you, do it by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Now this is interesting. He reminds him again that when you got saved, you received the Holy Spirit. You guys say, does he then who provides you with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who comes into your life and works miracles among you? All right, so let's explain this one. What does it mean by works miracles among you? Does it mean that all of a sudden we start doing miracles and we start healing people and we start doing other kind of miracles? That's an initial quick reading sounds like it, doesn't it? And works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? What is the miracle that God works? What is the miracle that God works? That's right. The greatest miracle God can work is taking a lost sinner who has no hope of saving himself, who has no means of saving himself, and to the Holy Spirit give you new birth. Justification. He gives you new life in the Lord Jesus. That, I submit to you, is the greatest miracle that can ever happen. Would you agree? Amen? The new birth. The new birth. How in the world, and you know, you try to witness to a non-believer, what do you mean born again? What does that mean? It means being born from God. How can you be born of God unless the Holy Spirit gives you that new birth? And so that is a great miracle, the miracle of salvation. And I think that's what he's talking about here. Does he then who provides you with the Holy Spirit and works miracles among you, not only saving you, but transforming you and making you into a new person, a totally changed person, does he do it by the works of the law? Again, by your own effort? Or by the hearing with faith? What's the answer? By the hearing with faith. You by faith receive what God is going to do in your life, right? So salvation is a gift of God. So the work of the Holy Spirit then is what accomplishes salvation. We hear by faith, and as you're hearing the Word of God, the Holy Spirit makes it alive in you. We grow by the Holy Spirit, not by the flesh, not by our own efforts. The Holy Spirit then gives you the power to live His life that He offers. Next, we suffer because of our growth. And lastly, He transformed our character, our way of being, through the work of the Holy Spirit. And so we can see then the importance of the work of the Holy Spirit in the believer's life. You know that nobody told me that until I was in Bible college. I always thought it was my effort. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? All right, now let's go to Zechariah, and I'm going to connect you with some Old Testament thoughts that sound like New Testament thoughts. All right, let's look at it. Now, I'll ask a question, and it is meant to be answered, so you can answer once I ask the question. All right, and here's my question. Is the work of God hard, yes or no? Any work of God? All right, for example, we're going to start a new work in Columbus, in the city of Columbus. We're going to call it Columbus Bible Chapel. And the work was started. Was it easy? Was everything smooth? Or is there a lot of issues that come along with the starting the work? Is it hard or easy? Yes or no? Hard or easy?
Hard.
And whoever says it's easy hasn't started the work. Right? All right? It's hard. It's tough. You run into all kinds of issues, all kinds of problems. It's very difficult. I really pray a lot for elders because they have it hard. Especially because they get attacked so much and accused so much. And they need to be prayed for more rather than attacked. Wouldn't you agree?
Amen.
That's right. They need to be prayed for. So praise God for those men who are doing that for the Lord. But it's hard work. Now, in this case, they returned from captivity after 70 years. And when they got back to Jerusalem, the handful that came, what did they find? What did they find? What did they find? Ruins. Ruins. A disaster. Everything was knocked down, crumbled. Nothing there. All right? Now, they couldn't do what you and I could do today. They couldn't go to the local store and rent a tractor and a truck to haul away the heavy rocks. Guess how they had to do it? Huh? Everything was hand. All right? It was sweat. It was hard work. They had to go over there, and then the Lord said, I want you to go back, and I want you to do what? What did God want them to do? To do what? I hear a lot of mumbling.
Rebuild
the temple. Right? They didn't rebuild the walls until 100 years later. Nehemiah came 100 years later. So the first task that God wanted was for them to rebuild the temple. All right? So let me ask you a question. When we're going to do physical work, let's just say that we're going to paint and we're going to do things to the building. Does that require spiritual help too, or just brute work, just brute strength? You know, let's paint the walls, let's fix the siding, let's do things. Does that require help of the Holy Spirit or no? What do you think?
There's an element of that, I think.
There's an element of that, all right? So let's see what the Lord says in Zechariah 4 and verse 6. 4 and 6. Zechariah was given the task of building the temple. Look what he tells them. Then he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. What are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become a plain, and he will bring forth the top stone with shouts of grace, grace to it. Verse 9. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundations of this house, and his hands will finish it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. So, Joshua the high priest was responsible for the spiritual side of the work, right? Zerubbabel, the governor, was in charge of the physical aspect of the work, the physical building. But what did God say to him? Zerubbabel, you know, stay in shape, eat well, be healthy, and you're going to get the building done. Everybody's going to help you. Everybody bring a rock so you won't get tired. And, you know, mix the mud and go ahead and build the stone walls and measure it correctly, and it's going to work out. Is that what he told him? Is that what he told them?
Nope.
What did he say? Verse 6. Zerubbabel, here's what I'm saying to you. It's not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit. So whenever we're involved in the work of God, any kind of work of God, it requires the help of the Holy Spirit. Even for something like this. Because as they were building the building, there was going to be opposition. Right? So the neighboring people around them didn't want them to build the temple. And so there was opposition. It was so daunting, the task, and it was so difficult that there was a 15-year delay for when they laid the foundation to this point here, and they still couldn't get the building done. Have you ever started a work project that's been going on for 5 or 10 years and it's still not done? Have you ever seen that happen? Right? Let's do a work. Let's go do a mission. Let's remodel. Let's paint. Let's change the carpet. And 1 year goes by, 2 years go by. Well, let's have another committee. Let's vote about it again. And then another year goes by. It seems like it never happens. May I submit to you that even doing stuff like that requires the help of the Holy Spirit? I think we see it right there. It's not by might or nor by power. Now, what he's saying is it's not by human resources or strength that you do God's work, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. And notice, what are you, O great mountain? What's the mountain? What's the mountain? What's this great mountain that he talks about? That's right, obstacles. Obstacles. So Zerubbabel, I have this task for you to do. It's been so difficult that 15 years have gone by, nothing but frustration. You still can't get God's work done. Well, can I give you a little hint, Zerubbabel? It's by my spirit that you get it done. By my spirit. It's not by your might or by your power or how good the architect is or who can we hook up with that maybe has a lot of influence. It's the Holy Spirit that has to empower us even to get physical work done in the chapel. How about that? And there's always going to be difficulties. There's always going to be mountains, problems, things that get in our way. And here's what he says. What are you, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Why? Because Zerubbabel was doing it and not by his own might or power, but by the Holy Spirit empowering him, he was doing God's work. So as I look at Scripture, I'm learning one thing, that we're totally dependent on the Holy Spirit. On the Holy Spirit's work. From salvation to sanctification to getting anything done for God, it's all a reliance on the Holy Spirit. All right? So, having said this, let's go to the next point. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. Go to 6:18. It's nice to be in a building when it's cold and it's hot inside the building. That's good. That's good because as it gets colder outside, it's going to be warm in here. So in other words, it's hot in here. Ephesians 6:18. Notice what he says. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the? That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. Listen, even when we pray, which the Bible exhorts us to pray guided by the Holy Spirit. So are you getting the thought of the day? That it's the Holy Spirit who opens our eyes and convicts us of sin so that we can be saved. It's the Holy Spirit then who empowers us to grow as believers and gives us that victory, that daily victory that we need. And it's not our efforts, it's us working hard but relying on the Holy Spirit to empower us. It's the Holy Spirit who helps us when we do anything for God, any kind of work projects or things we want to accomplish. Even that, we need the Holy Spirit. But then it says here, even when you pray, the Holy Spirit should be directing and leading the prayer meetings. How about that? So notice then the text. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. That is the Holy Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all of the saints. So that when the Holy Spirit is active in a church and working, the church prays, empowered by the Holy Spirit, for saints. For saints. Because the Holy Spirit is concerned with this church and with the body. Now, and the Holy Spirit then will awaken you at night. Listen, He's going to awaken you at night. And He's going to say, I want you to pray for Brother Anil. And you wake up and, Lord, why is he so heavy in my heart? I don't know, but I'm going to pray. That's the Holy Spirit who awakens you. Hasn't he laid missionaries in your heart or other brothers who may be suffering? All of a sudden you can't sleep and you're, why does this person keep coming up? And you get up and you pray. That's the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit wants us to be praying in the Spirit, guided by the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
Right? And the Holy Spirit's concerned with people. He's in the people business. Right? And so he lays that burden in our hearts. Pray for brother or sister. Or pray for the mission. Or whatever it may be. Pray. So we pray, be in the alert all the time without perseverance and petitions for all the saints. Notice. So even when we pray, we have to ask the Holy Spirit to direct us and lead us in the prayer. How about that? And notice what else he says. And pray on my behalf, that utterance be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. So we pray for all the saints, but we also pray for boldness to preach the gospel. Because the Holy Spirit wants us to preach the gospel and to ask for boldness to be able to do that. So the Holy Spirit then is guiding the church in prayer and the individual believer. Holy Spirit also is guiding us, giving us the boldness we need to share the gospel. And lastly, notice, so I can make known, verse 20, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that the proclamation, the proclaiming it, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So lastly, he's praying that the Holy Spirit will make them know what to speak at the appropriate time. So we see then that the Holy Spirit guides prayer and preaching of the gospel, and also guides what to speak. Galatians 5:16, I say to you, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And so, the Holy Spirit then is telling us to walk in His guidance and His power, so we won't do the fleshly thing. And then we also read in Ephesians 5:18. Look at that one. We're right there in Ephesians. Look at 5:18. By the way, this is a command. This is not an option. It doesn't say, oh, by the way, if you feel like it, you can be full of the Holy Spirit. Notice it says, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's in a command mode. In other words, it doesn't say, oh, if you want to, Tom, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. It says, no, believers. As believers, let me give you a little example. If you drink a lot of wine, that wine's going to control you. You're going to get drunk. So here's my command to you, Christians. Be filled, be controlled by the Holy Spirit. It's a command. It's not an option. It doesn't say if you want to, or if you get up to it, or if you feel like it. It's like, no, this should be true of every believer. Holy Spirit should be controlling you. So then, the work of the Holy Spirit is vital to the believer. Let me take that a step back. It's vital for salvation. It's vital for spiritual growth. It's vital for service as we serve. It's vital in prayer. It's vital for victory over the flesh. And it's extremely important that we get controlled and guided by, every day, the Holy Spirit. That's why the Bible says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Do not pour water on the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Right? Do not pour water on the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is also considered many times as a fire that works in us and makes us burn for God. Right? Do not grieve Him. Let Him do His work in your life. So then, where's the victory of the believer? Where's the victory? Is it being a Rambo? I can do it? No. It's a total dependence on the empowering and enabling work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer for victory. Alright? So how's the Holy Spirit walk? It has nothing to do with speaking in funny languages or stumbling or doing all that stuff. It has nothing to do with the Bible. As you can see, is what we've read here. And so, this should be our prayer. Holy Spirit, you save me by faith alone as you open my eyes and convict me of sin so I can be saved. And now you want to sanctify me. It's your job to grow me in Christ. So I want to allow you to do your work so that I can become that mature believer empowered by the Holy Spirit in everything I do. And I believe this is what the Lord would want us to be, Spirit-led believers. That's the victory. That's where it's at. That's how we're going to live a victorious life for the Lord, and we're going to see more consistency in our life as we allow the Holy Spirit to work. So having said that, let's pray. So Holy Spirit, as we pray right now, we have to confess that we have tried to do your work for you in our own strength, in our own intelligence, in our own power, and we failed so much. But Holy Spirit, we pray that you would teach us how to let you do your work in our lives, how to empower us, how to give us that victory that you want. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' blessed name. Amen.